Psalm 63, right before I get to there is a very special verse that we're probably familiar with. As a matter of fact, some that are in here today may even have this memorized. And it's in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14. Sometimes we even refer to this as the formula for revival. The formula for revival. How are we really preparing? How are we really getting ready for revival? Well, the Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14 that God gives us a condition. There's a condition that has to be met. As a matter of fact, the verse, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14, starts with this word. It says, if. So God gives a condition to His people. But then, as we read on in that verse, we have to meet the requirements. And then if we meet the requirements, God will keep His promise. So God gives promises in His Word. This is one of them, really a formula for revival. How do we get our hearts ready? How do we get ourselves prepared for revival? A condition that God gives to His people. And then if we meet that condition, God says, I promise that I will answer. I promise that I'll meet that need. I promise that I will give you that revival that you're asking for. There is a certain part of this verse, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14, that I think speaks very well as we prepare for revival to the passage in Psalm 63 that we're going to look at in just a moment. So I'm going to just quote this. Again, some of you may know it by heart, but it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Now God says that's the condition that you must meet. If you're willing to meet that requirement, He'll keep His promise. Here's His promise at the end of the verse. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. There's a certain part of this verse that I want to concentrate on when we think about Psalm 63 today, and it's three words that are found in verse number 14, and it's these words, seek my face. God says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Now last week, we preached a message in preparation for revival from the book of Judges, some things that had to be done as prerequisites to get ready for revival. And now today, following that pattern, we're going to look at Psalm 63 and we're going to think about this thought this morning of seeking God's face so that we can be prepared, so that we can be ready for revival. And to understand what's happening here in Psalm 63, I want to give you the background. And really, to give you the background of Psalm 63, really it's a real simple thing. It's a real quick thing. You remember there was times where David was fleeing from King Saul. King Saul was desiring to take David's life because King David was now anointed to be the next king. He was not the king yet, but he had been anointed. Remember, God was searching for somebody after His own heart. And God had sought in the sons of Jesse. And He uses Samuel to anoint David. And he's going to be the next king. So Saul knows that David is now going to be the next king. He knows he's going to be on the throne. Not only that, not only does he become jealous because David is going to be the next king, but he also becomes jealous because David is now fighting battles and he is winning those battles, battles that Saul will not fight. Remember, David is a teenage boy, goes to fight a giant. He comes and he sees this giant Goliath who comes down and he blasphemes the name of the Lord and he says, hey, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason to fight this giant? I'm not going to allow him to defy the name of the Lord anymore. So he went down to that brook. He gathered those five smooth stones and he takes that stone in his sling and he kills the giant Goliath. And then as a result of that, they start singing songs about David, don't they? Saul has slain his thousands. David has slain his tens of thousands. Well, the Bible tells us that Saul then becomes very jealous and David has to run away from Saul. He is fleeing. Really, he's fleeing for his life. But Saul is hunting him and he's trying to kill him. And the Bible tells us that one of those places that David runs and flees from Saul and hides from Saul in is the wilderness. So this is part of the wilderness journeys or years of David's life when he is running from Saul as Saul is hunting him. And I want us to notice three things from a few of the verses here in Psalm 63 that I hope will help us as we are preparing our hearts to seek the Lord's face for revival. Thought number one this morning, I want us to notice in Psalm 63, I want us to notice the thirsty soul. I want us to notice the thirsty soul. Notice what David says in Psalm 63 in verse number one. He says these words, O God, Thou art my God. He says, early will I seek thee. Now notice the next few words. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I want us to notice, number one, the thirsty soul. There are several things I want us to see about verse number one. And I want you to notice this that we see at the very beginning of verse number one. David acknowledges God's ownership in his life. God, you own me. I am a child of God, David says. Notice what the very beginning of verse number one says. You've got to notice this. He notices God's ownership of his life. He says, O God, now notice the next four words, thou art my God. David says, you are my God. David recognizes God's ownership in his life. Isn't it great for us to consider today, if we know Jesus as our Savior, that God is ours and we are God's? And that is a great truth to remember today. God is ours and we are God's. Now consider what David is going through. We already gave you the background of the psalm. David is running away from Saul as Saul is hunting him and he is trying to kill him. So we would say this. We would say that this is one of the valley or the dry times in David's life. So David is going through one of those dry or valley times of life. And by the way, we go through them, don't we? We can go through the dry times of life. We can go through the valley times of life. And then also there's times when we go through the full times of life. And we go through the mountain times of life. But this is David's encouragement for us. Even though David is thirsting after God, even though David is saying, hey, Saul is hunting me. I'm at a time when I have to run. I'm hiding in the wilderness. He is acknowledging that God is as much his God in the valley times of life as he is in the mountain times of life. Oh, isn't that an encouragement for us today? That no matter what time of life you're facing today, that God is as much your God in those dry and those valley times of life as when you go through the full and the mountain times of life as well. God is still our God in good times, still our God in bad times. Aren't you thankful to know today that God is the God of the wilderness? When we're wondering, as we would think of the illustration of David here, and in our lives, when we wonder sometimes through the wilderness times of life, that God is the God of the wilderness and He is still our God. Can I say this? When the children of Israel were wandering through the wilderness, was He not still their God? And by the way, did He not still take care of them because they were His people? You think about the children of Israel, wander through the wilderness for 40 years. David is wandering through the wilderness here, and he acknowledges the fact that God is still my God. The children of Israel, as they wander through the wilderness for 40 years, and the Bible tells us that God takes care of them. He provides their food for them. He provides their drink for them when they were thirsty and they needed water. God provided for them. He provided clothing for them that did not wear out. The soles of the shoes that did not wear out as they were journeying for 40 years. God is the God of the wilderness. God is the God in the full times and the mountain times of life. He's the God in the dry times or the valley times of life as well. Notice again, verse number one, he says, O God, thou art my God. He recognizes God's ownership in his life. We belong to God and he belongs to us. Isn't that comforting today? You know, I've used this illustration before. You've probably heard me say it. But after I trusted the Lord as my Savior, there was a hymn in the hymnal that became very special to me. And it's the hymn that says, now I belong to Jesus. Man, there's something special about belonging to Jesus. We belong to Him and He belongs to us. You know, the Bible tells us that we are not our own. That means that we don't have right to do with our body as we see fit or our life as we see fit, because we belong to God and He belongs to us. So He says, you're not your own, for ye are bought with a price. That price is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on in that verse to say, because you're bought with a price, you're to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we're to glorify Him outwardly. We're to glorify Him. So because we are bought with a price and we belong to God and He belongs to us, He expects our obedience, doesn't He? Now think about revival. Think about how we get ready for revival. When we're getting ready for revival, we're desiring to live in obedience, right? Hey, since we belong to God and He belongs to us, He expects our obedience. Are you living in obedience? Because you belong to Him and He belongs to you, He expects our service. Are you living a life of service to the Lord? Because you belong to Him and He belongs to you, He expects your faithfulness. Hey, as we're preparing and we're getting ready for revival, God expects our obedience. He expects our service. He expects our faithfulness to Him. So we belong to God and He belongs to us. By the way, that's true, right? Are you saved through faith? Because of grace, because God gave to us something we did not deserve, because of faith, because we've trusted Him, we've depended upon Him, we've turned to Him and put our faith and trust in Him, it makes it possible now that we can say, I belong to God and He belongs to me. Now, we belong to God and He belongs to us, not only because of grace and not only because of faith, but because of the promises of God's Word. Oh, He gives us promises over and over in His Word, and when He makes promises, He will keep them. So we know that we belong to God and He belongs to us because of promises. And then think about this, the blessings that God has bestowed upon you. The blessings that God showers upon you, letting you know that you're a child of His and He is providing for you. He's taking care of you. And then there's another way that we can recognize the ownership of God in our lives, that He belongs to us and we belong to Him because of His answers to our prayers. Think about God being a God who answers our prayers. He hears us, He acknowledges that He hears us, and He answers our prayers. And then, as the songwriter said, how do you know you belong to God? How do we know He lives? You ask me how I know He lives. How do you know I belong to God? Because He lives within my heart. Oh, His Holy Spirit is living within me, and because of that wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit, it lets me know that I belong to God. So not only do we see that the psalmist recognizes God's ownership in his life, but the psalmist in verse number 1 also lets us know I'm longing for God. Not only does God own me, there's ownership of God in my life, but I am longing for God, he says. Look with me, if you would, at the second part of this verse. We're thinking about the thought of a thirsty soul. Look at the second part of verse number 1. It says this, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Now, I want you to notice there's some words that are very important for us to remember in verse number 1. Really, it's the same word, and it's repeated 3 different times. Would you look back to verse number 1 with me, and I'm going to stress that word as I read through here. O God, Thou art my God. Now notice this, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. The psalmist is saying, I'm longing for God. And listen, when you're longing, you've got to make sure, and you're thirsty, you've got to make sure you come to the right source. Here the Bible says the psalmist comes to the right source. He is longing for God. He's longing for the right source. Can I ask you this? As we prepare for revival, this whole message helping us prepare for revival, as we prepare for revival, how much do you thirst for God? How much do you long for God? I want you to answer that honestly in your heart this morning. As we're preparing, as we're getting ready for revival, could you say like the psalmist, I'm thirsting for God as if I'm in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. God, I want you that much in my life. The Bible says in Psalm 42, and I'm going to take the time just to look at that for a moment. In Psalm 42 in verse number 1, it says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Just like the deer bends down at the water brook and it tries to get the water as a source of quenching its thirst, God says, just like that illustration, the psalmist says, I long and I thirst for thee, O God. Notice the very beginning of verse number 2 in Psalm 42. If you don't have it, if you haven't looked there, I'll take the time to read it. It says, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. How much do you thirst for God? We can think of illustrations of individuals who have gotten so thirsty and has even played tricks on them. You think about individuals who perhaps have been shipwrecked And the only source of water that they have would be the salt water around them. Their mind almost makes them think, I'm so thirsty that if I just take help me, but really it's not a source that's going to help them at all. Think of the individual that would be traveling in the desert and they're so thirsty, they're so dry that their mind almost plays tricks on them and they're thinking that they see water, but really the only thing in front of them is sand. They cannot quench the thirst. Let me ask you, do you thirst that much for the Lord? Are you thirsty for the Lord? Are you thirsty for God to do something special in your life? How strong is your thirst today? Think about what Jesus said to that lady that was at the well. When he said to her, I'll give you water, where you'll never thirst again, that everlasting life. Our thirst spiritually can be quenched in Jesus. Isn't that wonderful that we can go to him? But how strong is your thirst today? Is it like when you first knew Christ? Are you thirsting and longing for Jesus like when you first knew him? Can you go back to the time when you first put your faith and trust in him? Are you saying today that I'm thirsting and longing for God just like I did when I first came to know him? Or are things cold in your life? Are you spiritually in need of longing for Christ or thirsting after Christ in a better way? Do you have to look back in your life and recall the times when you enjoyed or you longed for his presence in a greater way than you long and you thirst for his presence today? Can I say this? A thirst for God is a good sign of revival. A thirst for God is a good sign of revival. We're preparing. We're trying to get ready. A thirst for God is a good sign of revival. And a lack of thirst or a need for thirsting for God or longing for God more is a good sign that we need God to give us revival. Oh, that God would give us revival as we see, number one, the thirsty soul. But number two, would you notice with me in this psalm, the seeking soul. Number one, we saw the thirsty soul, but I want you to notice the seeking soul. Now, remember back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14. What did we say? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and, what are the next three words? Seek my face. Remember we told you we were going to concentrate on those three words. Seeking the face of God. Are you thirsting for him? Are you seeking the Lord today? Number one, we see the thirsty soul. Number two, we see the seeking soul. Would you go back to verse number one with me and let's notice there's a little thought here in verse number one that we want you to notice about the seeking soul. He says, O God, thou art my God. Now notice the next few words. Early will I seek thee. The psalmist says, early will I seek thee. Now what is he seeking? Now this is powerful because this is what we want when it comes to revival. What is the psalmist seeking? Would you look at verse number two? He answers that. What is the psalmist looking for? What is he seeking? Look at verse number two. To see thy power and thy glory. Oh, God, if I could see your power and if I could see your glory so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Again, as I have seen it in earlier times in my life, or as I've been able to experience it when I'm alone with you, Lord. Oh, that I could see your power, that I could see your glory in my life. That's what he's looking for in revival. He's looking for God's power and he's looking for God's glory. You say, well, what does he mean by God's glory? God's presence in his life. Oh, can I say today, what a formula for revival. What a formula for revival to seek God's power, that his power would be in our lives. We want his power to be upon our lives as we serve him. We want his power to help us to accomplish great and mighty things for God. Are you lacking God's power today in your life? Don't try to go on in life without God's power. Don't try to accomplish things in your own strength. We need God's power, but then we also need God's glory, God's presence in our lives. Now, his presence as far as our relationship is concerned, if we've trusted Christ as our Savior, we've got the Holy Spirit living within us, that can never be taken away. But the fellowship may not always be as sweet as what it should be. Can I ask you today, is your fellowship with God what it should be? Are you walking with God the way that you should? Or do you perhaps need to be restored to right fellowship with the Lord? Is God's presence in your life as it's always been, or it's been in times past? Or how about once you came to know Jesus as your Savior? Is that fellowship, is that walk with the Lord sweet and what it should be? the psalmist says, I'm longing for you, Lord. I'm seeking after you. And I'm seeking you, God, so that I can see your power and I can see your glory. Ask a question this morning when we think of the seeking soul. How should we seek the Lord? How should we seek the Lord? I want you to consider a few words with me. Number one, we ought to seek God earnestly. We ought to seek God earnestly. This is something we ought to be earnest about. Man, I want to seek God. Remember what he says, if my people are going to humble themselves and pray and seek my face. That's the condition we have to meet. Hey, let's seek God earnestly. If you went in the same psalm, would you notice down at verse number 8? He says this, my soul followeth hard after thee. And then notice what he says at the end, thy right hand upholdeth me. Now notice what he's saying here, my soul followeth hard after thee. It's the idea of eager pursuit. God, I am earnestly, I am eagerly pursuing you. God, I am seeking after you. And I'm hard about it, I'm earnest about it, so that God, you can do great and mighty things in my life. How earnestly are you seeking the Lord? There are verses in the scripture that talk to us about seeking the Lord. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. The idea of earnestly seeking the Lord. Seek him while he may be found. Oh, don't let that opportunity slip away. Seek him earnestly. And then the Bible says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. When you've earnestly done it, when you've earnestly sought me with all of your heart, God says, you're going to find me. You seek and you will find. That moves me on to my second thought. How do we seek God? Number one, earnestly. And then number two, expectantly. Expectantly. It goes back to the thought that we just said. There's a verse in the New Testament of our Bible where it says, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Man, think about that thought. You seek and you will find. You are seeking expectantly. Knowing that if I seek God earnestly, I can expect to find Him. Seek and ye shall find. We're seeking earnestly. We're seeking expectantly. And then can I ask you, can I encourage you to do this? Seek God, constantly. Seek Him constantly. May it be a continual thing in our lives that we seek the Lord. Now, I understand that we're really trying to encourage right now because we want to get our hearts ready for revival, but may this be a continual thing. May it not just be in the needy or the troubled times of life that we seek the Lord, but moment by moment, daily, day by day, seeking the Lord constantly. So we seek Him earnestly. We seek Him expectantly. We seek Him constantly. And then can I ask you to do this or can you have you consider this? To seek God joyfully. Seek God joyfully. Notice what the psalmist says in verse number 7. Notice this. He says, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Hey, there's joy that's found in seeking Jesus. You seek and you find, and He gives us that joy. Joy that's unspeakable, and the Bible says it's full of glory. Oh, the wonderful truth of knowing that when we seek after God, there is the joy of finding Him and having His presence and His power in our lives. But then the psalmist says something specific to us back to verse number 1. He says there's the way that we ought to seek Him. Now remember, we said earnestly, we said expectantly, we said constantly and joyfully. But notice the psalmist also says that we are to seek Him early. Did you see that? Early will I seek thee. Now what does it mean when the psalmist says early? Well, I think there's several different ways that we can use that early to help us understand how we ought to seek the Lord. Number one, as in time of day. Time of day. Let's seek the Lord early in our day. Let's make sure that our first of our thoughts and the first of our time on a daily basis is given to the Lord. Let's seek the Lord early as far as the time of day. But then would we learn to seek the Lord early when it comes to priority? Not only in first as far as our time of day, but in priority, in importance when it comes to relationships. Can I say this? God in our relationships must have first place. He must be first. We seek Him early in regards to importance or priority or relationship. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." God comes before all others, right? The Bible says in the New Testament of our Bible that he is to have preeminence. That means as far as our relationships, as far as importance, as far as priority is concerned, God gets first place. Let's seek him early. So early in time of day, early in priority, but then early as in time of life as well. Let's learn to seek God early in our life, not after our years have been spent on earthly pleasures or things that we might say are temporal or earthly in value, but let's learn to seek God early in the early years of our life. What a blessing for young people that are sitting in here this morning to be able to hear this message that you can begin seeking God right now in your life. You don't have to spend time involved in the things of the world. You don't have to be involved in earthly things or temporal things and make those priorities in your life and spend all your time and your effort on those things, but to seek God early in life and make him a priority. But then can I tell you one last way in which I believe the psalmist is telling us to seek God early. Seek God early as in time of God's chastening as well. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Let's learn to seek God in confession early before the judgment and the punishment has to come. Have you ever had times in your life where you've been involved perhaps with things that you shouldn't be involved in, and instead of confessing, instead of getting it right and delaying and getting it dealt with, you put it off, and then you really have to feel the chastening hand of God. You really have to feel his judgment. You really have to feel the punishment that comes your way. Let's seek him early as far as God's chastening hand is concerned. We get things dealt with early. You've probably heard the principle, as individuals have said before, the thought of keeping a short account of sin. Making sure that when you've done that which you should not do, you confess it, you get it dealt with, and you get it right so that you can move on and do what God would have for you to do for his honor and for his glory. Now we ask the question, how are we to seek God? But then the thought, where do I seek him? Where do I seek God? I seek God in his word. I seek God in my prayer time. I seek God as I come to the house of God and I hear the preaching from the word of God. And then notice, because the psalmist is longing and thirsting for the Lord and he has a seeking soul, notice what the Bible says he writes as a song. Look at verse 3 and look at verse number 4. Look at the song that the psalmist is compelled to write because God owns him, because he's thirsting for God and he's seeking after God. Notice the song that he writes in verse 3 and verse number 4. Notice these words, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee." Oh God, because of your loving kindness in my life, I can't help but praise you. But then notice what verse 4 says. "Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name." The last thought I want us to see this morning, we saw the thirsty soul. We saw the seeking soul. Oh, but we can't leave this morning without noticing the satisfied soul. The satisfied soul. Oh, have you ever had a time where you were thirsty? Physically speaking, now you're thirsty. You're seeking for something to quench that thirst, and you found it and the satisfaction it brings. Oh, spiritually speaking, thirsting after the Lord. Lord, I want revival. Seeking the Lord. Lord, I'm seeking you earnestly. I'm seeking you expectantly. I'm seeking you constantly and joyfully and early in life. Lord, I'm wanting to find you. I'm seeking, wanting to find you. And then God, you satisfied the need. We're going to notice the satisfied soul as we finish this morning. Look at verse number 5, if you would. He says, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips." What does the psalmist say? That's the last verse in this psalm we're going to look at. What does the psalmist say in verse number 5? He says, I was thirsty and I was seeking and I found it. And God, when I found it, you satisfied me. Hey, God, I'm seeking for revival. I'm thirsty for revival. I'm seeking after you. I want you to give me revival. And isn't it great that God says the promise is there? We can have the satisfaction of knowing as I thirsted for God, as I was seeking for Him, I found what I needed. Two thoughts in this verse and we'll be finished. I want you to notice number one, there was a picture of thirst, but now there's a picture of a feast. Notice the satisfaction that God brings. Would you look at verse number 5 again? He says, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Now, wait a minute. This is the same psalmist that just wrote and said, I am so thirsty. In verse number 1, that he said, I feel like I'm in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. And now 4 verses later, he said, oh, it's almost as if God has sent a feast. Man, it's marrow and fatness. Oh, God, you've taken care of me. You have satisfied the need that I had. The psalmist now has rest that is given. His desires are met. His strength is given that he didn't feel like he had before. The picture of a giving God that is meeting the need of a seeking soul. Can I say that again? A picture of a giving God that is meeting the need of a seeking soul. When you're seeking today, aren't you thankful that you can go to a God who's able to graciously give? Oh, He's able to generously give so that that need can be met. Nothing we need in our lives cannot be given by Him. He meets the need, doesn't He? But then notice the last thought of this satisfied soul. Not only does it turn from thirst to now fullness. It turns from wanting something to now being completely satisfied. A picture of thirst to a picture of feast. But notice the end of the verse. I want you to notice that the satisfied soul breaks into music, breaks into song. Look at what it says at the end of verse number 5, if you would with me. It says, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Hey, can I ask you today, is there joy? Do you have joy on your lips? You have praise in your mouth. Are you thanking the Lord? That satisfied soul that begins to break into psalm. Now, wait a minute. Let's pause for a moment. We're almost done. This is the same psalmist who's hiding from a man who's trying to kill him. This is the same psalmist who's spending years in the wilderness, journeying around, making sure that he avoids a man who's desiring to take his life. So we know the psalmist still has the sorrow of that. His heart is still heavy with that. So here's what's happened in this psalm. You have to really understand this. The circumstances outwardly have not changed for the psalmist. He's still going through all the battles that he's going through. So the circumstances outwardly have not changed at all. But inwardly, things have changed. Now he finds joy and satisfaction in Jesus. And can I say this? When things change inwardly, that alters things, doesn't it? The joy that now is on his heart. So I ask you as we close this message this morning, especially as we're preparing for revival, for you to evaluate in your heart this morning, and maybe God would call upon you to make a decision for Christ today as we're getting ready for revival. Do you have a thirsty soul? Are you thirsty? Can I ask you this? We'll ask it just in simple terms today. Or do you even want revival? Is this something you even want? Is it something you're truly longing for today? Or is it just something that you say, well, it's on the calendar, so I'll probably be at some of those services. But is it something that you really want? Because God says, if you want it, I can give it to you. You seek me, I can give it to you. So number one, do you have a thirsty soul? Do you have a seeking soul? Are you seeking Him? Are you seeking Him earnestly and expectantly and constantly and joyfully and early? Are you seeking the Lord? And then let me ask you this. Do you have a satisfied soul? Do you have a satisfied soul? Would you be able to say, as I'm preparing for revival, it's almost as if I've had thirst and I'm just longing for the Lord and He's satisfied. He's met the need. And my heart has even broke out in singing. Man, there is joy in my heart. And by the way, may it be evident upon our faces and in our lives as well that there is joy that God has put in our lives for His honor and His glory. Are you preparing for revival? Are you getting ready? Could we say as the psalmist, yes, I had a time of thirst. I'm thirsting for the Lord. I'm still thirsting for Him. I'm seeking after Him. but I came to a God that satisfied me. Now, I ask a question that really needs to be asked in a message like this. The psalmist said at the very beginning of the psalm, O Lord, Thou art my God. Is He your God today? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Has there been a time where you've put your faith and trust in Him, not relying on your good works, not relying on your church membership, not relying on your baptism, not relying on the fact that you gave something in the offering plate, or you gave something to the church, or you gave something to somebody that was needy. But you said, there was a time in my life where God spoke to my heart. He showed me my need of sin, the need that I had, that I was a sinner. There was a punishment for my sin. He showed me that He loved me so much that He sent His Son to die for me. And there was a time when I called out to God, and with grace, by grace through faith, I trusted Jesus as my Savior, and I belong to Jesus. If you don't belong to Jesus today, I trust you'll come to know Him today. That's the first step in getting ready for revival. To know Him. But then can I ask Christians this morning, are you thirsting? Are you seeking? Are you satisfied? Are you preparing your heart earnestly and expectantly for revival? I hope that perhaps today could be one of those days in which we're preparing, we're getting ready, as the evangelist is working to get ready, as he's allowing the Holy Spirit to get messages ready and preparing, as he's going to step foot on our property and ready for the meetings, that we would be ready and prepared for revival as it approaches us this week. Father, I pray that in a very special way, I know I've already prayed at the beginning of the message, but Lord, in a very special way, Lord, I pray that You would use this message, the